we're looking at five fools that Solomon points out. He juxtaposes them against, you know, the righteous, against the wise and the knowing. In this lesson, we're going to look at some English translations call him the mocker, some call him the scoffer, some call him the scorner. All of those words could fit. The particular word we're looking at is you would pronounce it lates, and trying to look at the etymology of it, trying to figure out where, you know, what's the meaning of this word, what's it come from. Every source that I could come up with had a different viewpoint on it, just nearly. They even argue about how to spell the verb. Either is it leets, is it lutes? It's what's called a hollow verb. But all of them agree to this, that lates is a participle. But I'm going to say it's a participle that Solomon uses like a noun. So we're going to just use it like a noun for our purposes. But the way he uses it is exclusive, almost totally exclusive to Solomon. We find it once in Psalm 1:1. We find it once in Isaiah chapter 28, I believe it is. And everything else is all in Proverbs. And so I want to begin by looking at Psalm 1:1 for just a second to kind of lay some foundation about the lates. He says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." That's from the old King James Version there. That last phrase, "nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." He starts off with blessed, happy is the man that walks. He walks, but he's not doing it in the counsel of the ungodly. Nor stands. He's standing, but he's not standing in the way of sinners or on the path that sinners take. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You kind of see a progression of, shall we say, levels of responsibility. Generally speaking, the ones who are doing the walking are on the lower level of employment. Whatever you're talking about, whether you're talking about something military, you're talking about something government. The ones that are standing, they're there at the hand of the ones who are sitting. They're on hand, but they're not sitting. But the ones that are sitting, well, those are the ones who are in charge. In other words, privates do a lot of walking, generals do a lot of sitting, and that's kind of seen here. The scorners tend to be the ones sitting. They want to be in the seat. They want to be the ones that everyone looks to for their wisdom. They want to be in charge. Maybe a little further. That's a kind of a satanic attitude, is it not? Because Lucifer was created, I don't know whether he was a stander or a walker, but he wasn't a sitter. Only God was a sitter. And he decided, I could be like God. I want to be like God. I will be like God. Scorning. We highly prize it. We pay a lot of money to go hear a good scorner, entertain us. But is it that entertaining? The word, whether it's spelled leets or lutes, who knows, but depends on who you're reading. The verb means to turn, to twist, or get this, to interpret. If you ever preach to a translator, you'll kind of understand that, especially if you understand a little bit of what he's saying. You're like, hey, wait a minute, that's not exactly what I meant. Interpreters can interpret things. They can either say it just like you said it, or they can twist it a little, right? They can put a, in our day and time, we say put a spin on it, right? What's a spin? Well, you say it, but you say it in a way that it says more than, or says something you want it to say. Well, that's part and parcel to the lates. He likes to see what's true and what's noble and what's honorable and what should be respected. He likes to put his own twist on it. Maybe for comedic effect, who knows? But nonetheless, your first one blank is the word holy. The lates is a person who loves to scoff at things holy, to mock things he doesn't understand, although he'll never let you know he didn't understand it. And to speak satirically of truth while supposing that satire is wisdom. It's obvious that Solomon had little patience for fools. He apparently had little love for mockers or scoffers, for the lates in particular. In Solomon's introduction to Proverbs, he asked, "How long will this scoffing continue?" I've got my translation here. I don't know if I put the New King James on your page or not. I got to looking and thinking, what did I do there? But my translation reads like this: "Until when, naive ones, will you love naivety? And scorners covet scorning, and idiots will hate knowledge." Look at that. Scorners covet scorning. They love it. They thrive on it. They think that it makes them something. We find this in the introduction to Proverbs, in which he personified as a gracious lady. Ladies, you're feeling like calling out to those in need of wisdom. And she called to three particular groups that she thought most needed her help. She called to the pithy, which we looked at on Sunday. They need her help first, obviously. They're the most vulnerable to deception because they're open-minded. Deception. Unfortunately, the naive often love staying so. They don't want to move beyond being naive. Then the lates, the scorner, are labeled as those coveting scorning. It's stronger than just wanting. They covet scorning. Scorners think they are shrewd and cunning to be able to make a satire of everything sacred. Sacred, you're filling the blank there. And I think the third group, which we will not talk about tonight, we'll talk about on another night, is the kasil, which I translate as the idiot. Idiots hate knowledge. Hates, you're filling the blank there. But tonight we're going to talk about the lates, the scoffer, the scorner, the mocker. First thing you need to know about scorners, they're not teachable. Scorners are not teachable. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Now, I do want to point out the word here, correct, in the New King James, Yasser, has more to do with not just, you know, correcting somebody, but has the whole system of instilling discipline into someone's life. You know, discipline goes everything from, you know, chastening, from a spanking, all the way up to just getting them on a tight schedule. But, you know, there's a lot to discipline, to bringing, you know, more efficiency and more effectiveness into somebody's life. And that's what this word here means. It doesn't just mean correcting. But if you try to instill discipline into the life of a scoffer, you're going to get shamed. You're going to get embarrassed. You're going to get mocked. It's going to be thrown back in your face. Your first fill in blank is respect. Discipline is supposed to garner respect in God's kingdom. It should. If you see someone who has great spiritual discipline, that's somebody you need to hang out with and honor what they're trying to do and learn from them. And most parents discipline their children so the children will learn to honor authority. And that's important in God's kingdom, that we honor authority. God-given authority is given for our protection, for our guidance. And so it should be honored and obeyed. But the lates, the scoffer, the mocker, does not honor authority, but rather disgraces it. And we find here that the lates, the scorner, is a close cousin to the wicked man. Wicked, as you fill in blanks. So disgraces and then wicked are the fill in blanks there. And wickedness, there are several words that are translated evil or wicked in the Hebrew. This is the strongest one. You know, an evil man, you know, thinking about the Hebrew words, an evil man will harm you. But a wicked man will make a victim of you. There's in that idea of someone who strips you of your rights, violates your person or your personal... I like the way one lexicon put it. They disturb the peace. They disturb somebody's peace. Strip you of your sense of well-being. That's the wicked man. So look at what he says about the wicked man. If you try to instill discipline into the life of a mocker, he's going to disgrace you. But if you rebuke a wicked man, you're going to get harmed. So reprove a wicked man, you're liable to get a black eye or worse. He's going to disturb your peace. So you see, there's a connection here between if someone is attempting to correct or to instruct or to enable or to help you in a better way, and your response is to try to lash back, well, now you know who you are. He continues in verse 8. And this time, this word does mean correct. Do not correct a scoffer. Two different words. I don't know why the New King James translated it the same way. Two different words in the Hebrew. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. I wish we had time to spend more time tonight on this verse because of all he says about these other individuals, but let's kind of focus on the scorner for a moment. Again, scorners, the lates, is not teachable. Here's your fill in the blank, reproof. Reproof is a litmus test to sort out the truly wise from wise guys. A scorner hates reproof and will hate the reprover. So, you know what a litmus test is, right? You can tell the difference between an acid and a base very quickly with this little slip of paper that you can dip it in a liquid or a substance. And depending on the color change, you know whether you're dealing with something with a pH above 5 or a pH below 5, and whether it's acid or base. And just a real quick test. You just dip the paper, give it a second, you get a color change. And you know what you're dealing with, at least in terms of acid or alkali. Well, Solomon gives us a litmus test for knowing what kind of person you're dealing with. This could be very important for some of you who on a daily basis you deal with people. You can get a real quick read on them. If you offer a correction and they immediately fuzz up, you know you're dealing with a scoffer. If you offer a correction and they thank you for it, you know you're dealing with a wise person. Now, when you look in the mirror, you might want to stop and think, how do I take criticism? It might say something about your own character, something that maybe needs to change. How well do you handle criticism? A wise person loves to be corrected. And this next verse, verse 9, just accentuates the effectiveness of this test that Solomon gives us, this test. Giving reproof to a wise man will make him wiser. So test, wiser. Teaching a righteous person will increase his knowledge. And it's kind of left unsaid, but we can infer from what he's saying here that the scorner does not benefit from either one. He doesn't benefit from teaching. He doesn't benefit from instruction. Why? Well, because the scoffer believes he already knows more than you. He just assumes that. Remember I said he likes to sit. He likes to think, I'm the one who should pontificate here because I've got all the intelligence. Chapter 13, verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instructions. In other words, a wise son is teachable. He's trainable. You can instruct him. And with instructions, you can get something done with a wise child. But a scoffer, but a late does not listen. He doesn't listen to instruction. He doesn't listen to rebuke. He doesn't listen to rebuke. Scorn begins early. A wise child hears the discipline of parents and self-corrects. The scorner does not hear a rebuke or see a need of correction. Here is your fill in the blank. This child probably is too busy thinking of disrespectful comebacks to throw in the parent's face. Disrespectful. We don't want to raise scoffers. We don't want to deal with them. It's difficult. So it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of prayer. And it may take sitting down and looking at a lesson like this and saying, look, this is what God says about this kind of character. So when mommy says, go change that shirt, it's awful, then you need to say, yes, ma'am, with a happy heart, and realize mama just saved me from being an embarrassment. Not, bah, 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 you know, the typical response to, this is my favorite shirt or whatever, you know. There shouldn't be any response, but yes, ma'am, with a happy heart. Mom just saved me from an embarrassment. So it takes a lot, but if we don't put in the work, Satan will certainly do his best to turn our children into a scoffer. I think that's why Solomon wrote that, to warn us. Chapter 14, verse 6, a scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it. But knowledge is easy to him who understands. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it. But knowledge is easy to him who understands. Easy. The Hebrew word literally means is swift. It comes to him fast, quick. Your first fill in blank is the word think. The scoffer lives to think of wittier ways to insult or belittle. To think. But that search does not yield wisdom. You know, they like to get educated. They like to, you know, whether it's formal education or not, they study and they search and they want to be able to spout the facts and then twist them and to get whatever juice they can out of them as they squeeze them. But that's not where wisdom is found. Wisdom is found in the Word. It's found in being teachable. The trouble with this search for wisdom is he's only searching within his own brain for wisdom. He's not trusting that God knows more. Intelligence that's applied to the mockery of what is good and godly is grossly misapplied. What a waste of intelligence. Good, as you fill in the blank there. The next one is useful. But the individual who has spiritual discernment finds useful knowledge easily. And notice that. Knowledge, man, that comes easy to the person who has a spiritual understanding. I'll give you a little case in point, just a little. And I don't understand why this works. I'm just going to tell you it happened. When I was in college at Fayetteville, I had to maintain a certain GPA to keep my scholarship, keep going to school there. And, I mean, I did it, but it was just nail-biter. You know, I was just barely hanging on. And that was with freshman and sophomore classes. When I hit junior year and hit junior-level work, I was feeling a little in over my head. And I was struggling. And about halfway through the first semester of my junior year, it was bad. But somewhere in there, I was involved in MBSF, a church up there called Central Missionary Baptist Church, and we were challenged with a, I don't remember, a guest speaker. Somebody came in and said, if you want to improve your grades, memorize Scripture. And he gave a bunch of examples. And I thought, well, God has called me to preach, so I guess it wouldn't hurt me to memorize Scripture. And even though I don't understand the premise, I'm going to do that. So I made me some little 3x5 cards. And at my junior year, I'd moved off campus. I was living off campus 3/4 of a mile away or so. I would catch the university bus and ride it up to the university. And so while I was at the bus stop or while I was on the bus or when I was between classes, I'd whip out my 3x5 card. And so I started memorizing Romans 6. And by the time I had memorized Romans 6, I was doing better. In fact, I finished that semester. Like in the middle of the semester, I was thinking I better drop something because I was about to lose everything. I made all A's. Thought, Christmas rolled around. I thought, I'm going to memorize Romans 8. So I got to working on Romans 8. Next semester, junior level stuff, I made all A's. Well, by that time, I was like, I ain't quitting now. I started my senior year. When you're senior level stuff, I moved on to the book of Ephesians. And by the time I'd memorized the book of Ephesians, I had two more all A's. And at that point, they thought I was a genius, and the head of the department was literally on the side. I was standing in line to go graduate, and he had me by the elbow trying to convince me to go into their master's program. Of course, I was going to the seminary in Little Rock. That was my plans, but literally, he thought I'd become some kind of a genius overnight. I don't know that I got any smarter, but I do know this. When I did what he said, it worked. When I began to apply myself to know the Word of God, everything else got easier. Knowledge came easier to me, and I was able to regurgitate on tests easier. And so, believe me, when I got to seminary, I didn't stop. I continued this pattern, you know, of trying to get the Word of God and apply it into my mind, and it made everything else come easier. So when I tell you this, I'm telling you from experience, it works. And if it'll work in school, I'm sure it'll work at your place of employment or with working with your children or your whatever you're doing. Knowledge comes easier when we understand things the way God understands them. All right. That brings me to this idea. The scoffer, he seeks wisdom, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get real wisdom. But the one who understands, he has a spiritual understanding, he just gets more and more and more. There's a kingdom principle there that Jesus told in some of his parables. To the one who has, more will be given. More, as you fill in the blank. To the one who has, more will be given. But to the one who does not have, it will be taken from him what he does have. And so we see it lived out there between the lates and the one who has knowledge or understanding, I should say. Chapter 15, verse 12. The lates, a scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. He doesn't love the one who corrects him, doesn't appreciate anyone who offers correction, nor will he go to the wise to get help. Again, Solomon points out an easy test for spotting scoffers. A scoffer will not love any correction or instruction, and a scorner, the lates, will not go, y'all can spell that one, will not go to the wise whenever he is stumped or in need of advice. Ladies, this may be why your husband will never ask for directions. I don't know. But will not go to the wise to seek advice. The wise will point the mocker, most often, toward the Lord. And that's a direction the mocker doesn't want to go. Hopefully our wisdom points people to the Lord. All right. Next thing we learn is that scorners are self-deceived or make themselves foolish. They are fools. Though they may be highly intelligent, tend to be highly intelligent, they are still self-deceived fools. Chapter 9, verse 12. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. You got to think about that. This is the verb form. This is not actually the word lates, but this is the verb. This is what a lates does. He scoffs or he mocks. Going back to chapter 9, we learned that one's attitude affects one's outcome. See, God cares about the heart. Actions don't carry near as much weight with God as the heart. What's the motive? What's the attitude? That's what God looks at. So the wise person will apply godly wisdom to his or her own advantage. I mean, if you take the wisdom that you found in the Word of God and apply it to situations in your life, you're the benefactor. You're the one who are receiving the benefits as well. You're a benefactor to your own self because you took the Word of God and applied it to your situation. So wisdom most benefits as you fill in the blank, its possessor. However, when we consider the anti-wisdom mockery, they think it sounds witty. They think it sounds shrewd and prudent and wise. Instead, it's not. It's a twisted version. So it's kind of the anti-wisdom. We find a different outcome. The scoffer will not benefit from his scorn. Now, he may sell a lot of books, or he may become a famous comedian or political pundit. I don't know. He may make a lot of money that way, but as far as personal benefit, he doesn't receive any. Because he's self-deceived into self-punishment. Instead, he alone will have to bear the consequences of such language and behavior, of such an attitude. Chapter 20, verse 1, again, an interesting thing that Solomon does. He uses a pair of metaphors. He says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Wine is a mocker. Wine is a lates, he says. Strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Your first fill in the blank is wine. Wine and strong liquor are personified to give us a better understanding of their ill effects. Wine is called a lates, a scorner, a mocker, a scoffer. But strong drink is called a brawler, brawler. Now think about that. Barroom brawls do not happen at wine sipping parties, do they? No, where do they happen? Well, they tend to happen where beer and hard liquor are being doled out, right? That's where you get a barroom brawl. But why is wine called a mocker? Mocker, or scoffer, or scorner, depending on which English translation you're reading. Well, think about this. Wine sedates the wisdom that a person has, the wisdom to hold your tongue back. To hold back the tongue. Tongue is your fill in the blank. After a few glasses, you know, the jokes seem funnier and they seem more relaxed and they're more willing to share their personal business they probably shouldn't be sharing. And in so doing, the temptation to sound satirical or to sound witty is fostered when intellectual people gather to sip wine instead of to consult the Word. Intelligent people should get together to consult the Word, not to sip the wine. And so doing, things that should be respected and things that should be held in high regard and things that should be considered sacred, you know, when there's a lot of wine flowing, those things get denigrated, those things get disgraced, and those things get belittled, and things that should not be exalted get exalted. So don't let wine bring out your inner scoffer, inner scoffer. This is self-deceiving and it's self-punishing because you can't tell God, oh, it was the wine talking. And he said, no, that was your tongue. That was your tongue. All right, let's just get it down. Solomon did not like fools. He especially did not like scorners. He describes them as, well, not nice. I put in parentheses there, obnoxious critics. Look at what he says, fools mock at sin. Now, again, this is the verb form. This is not lates. This is leets or lutes, however they're going to spell it. But this is what scorners do. Fools, and this is the word evil, we'll look at that on Thursday, I believe. The mouthy fool mocks at sin. Now just soak that in for a moment. Is sin something to be laughed at? Made fun of? That's not a very sporting topic. No, it's a very serious topic. Sin. He continues, but among the upright there's favor. But I'm going to tell you, it's more powerful than what your English translation shows you there, because it's not just that mouthy fools scorn at sin, but literally they scorn at a particular kind of sin offering that the Old Testament calls a trespass offering. The mouthy fool, he scorns, or he causes to scorn, a trespass offering. Trespass is your fill in the blank. Now, trespass offerings were offered by Israelites when they discovered that somehow by way of neglect of the holy things, they had sinned. Holy things. In other words, they didn't realize it was an accidental, it was an oversight, but in hindsight, they realized that was wrong. The law of Moses says you don't do this with regard to the holy things, and they had done something. At that point, there was a trespass offering that would cover that situation. Now think about that. You know, in our Western culture, we'd say, well, you know, the law of statutes has done run out on that. There is no law of statutes on things that are holy to God. A violation is a violation is a violation. We need not be flippant about the things that are sacred and important to God. And upon realizing that the person had violated, they would then immediately, you know, and these weren't cheap sacrifices, but it was a way to atone, to find atonement, to find forgiveness for something they had done inadvertently through oversight, but now they could be made right with God. Even though they didn't know it happened, God knew it happened. Right? And so to make fun of that, to scorn that, to think that's silly, that's this, that's that, to make a trespass offering, that's water under the bridge. God should just get over that. He should just get glad in the same pants he got mad in. Didn't bother me. Boy. While that sounds bold and brass, you don't know God very well if that's the way you're going to treat him. Fools mock at a trespass offering. The evil is a scoffer. Although he may be less polished than the average philosopher, his mockery laughs at the idea that accidentally disobeying the Lord needs forgiveness. You know, if you accidentally elbow your spouse in the nose while trying to brush your teeth, should you laugh or ask for forgiveness? Maybe you'll do both, but you better ask for forgiveness, because even though it was an accident, it still hurt, right? Still hurt. So there's no sense in deciding that that's not important, but it is. Proverbs 19:28, a disreputable witness scorns justice. So we find another person who also is a form or a type of a scorner, a disreputable witness. Read it again. A disreputable witness scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. There's that word wicked again. The wicked person devours guilt, iniquity. So, witness is your first fill in the blank in that section. Another character who serves as a type of scorner is the bad witness. I say by bad witness, I mean disreputable. They're not a tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth kind of witness. The disreputable or worthless witness, which is what that word disreputable means worthlessness. The worthless witness mocks justice. And there's the verb form, leets or lutes. Mocks justice. His testimony is basically for hire. Hire, as you're filling the blank, hire. He doesn't care about justice. He cares about the value of the money or the favors that his testimony can leverage. But listen, God's whole judicial system under the law of Moses, it was based on two things. It was based on honest witnesses and impartial judges. And if those two things were in place, then you could always get a fair trial in the land of Israel. Always. And, you know, you really weren't going to get accused of anything falsely, you know, because circumstantial evidence was inadmissible. If it was not witnessed, it could not be punished. And as long as you had witnesses that were honest and impartial judges, justice would flow and they could be a free people. But a disreputable witness just throws that all out the window. He doesn't care about justice. Honesty is your fill in the blank. The honesty of eyewitnesses and the impartiality of judges. The disreputable witness is also a cousin to the wicked, because both lack the taste of guilt, apparently. Guilt is your fill in the blank. The mouth of the wicked devours iniquity, and the disreputable witness is willing to be guilty of being a false witness for money or whatever benefit he thinks he gains from it. They're not afraid to be guilty for dishonest gains. Chapter 21, verse 24, a proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name, Lates is his name, he acts with arrogant pride. In this proverb, Solomon attempted to give kind of the classic scoffer a definition, proud and haughty. There's kind of a little play on words there in the Hebrew. Just to emphasize the pride that he's emphasizing. This pride is a pompous presumption. Presumption is your fill in the blank. Spell it best you can. I couldn't either. Presumption that believes it knows better. It believes it knows better. He's also called haughty. Haughty. The Lates operates presumptuously with a haughty, overflowing rage. It says he acts with arrogant pride, but that word usually refers to a rage. It's a kind of an overflowing wrath when someone has just lost it and they just come down hard on somebody. And so, you know, his vindictive snipes and his vitriolic verbal attacks on all things holy and right come from an anger that is just simply satanic. Satanic. Let me ask you, why attack God? Is that not foolish? Why attack anything that's associated with God or make fun of it? Is that not foolish? The haughty scoffer wants to be God. Let's just boil it down. He does not want to, here's your fill in the blank, to worship God. He does not want to worship God. He wants to be worshiped. And that's why he's so sharp with his tongue. But such a fool. Because there's only one throne and only God can fill it. Proverbs 24:9, the devising of foolishness is sin. The devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men. Now look at that. Let's just say it. The scorner is a mean-spirited person. The first person, the devising of foolishness is in, kind of deals with this Evviel we're going to talk about on Thursday. The Evviel devises insolent foolishness. Foolishness is your fill in the blank. And any plan that is loudly and proudly against God's plan is obviously sin. Sin's your fill in the blank. If it's against God's plan, it's sin. But what could be worse than sin? A scorner is worse. He says the scorner is an abomination to mankind. An abomination. See, mockers repudiate and poke fun at every sacred institution or moral known to humanity. And it is sickening. That's what an abomination is. Something that you get a whiff of it and it makes you nauseated. It is sickening, or at least it should be sickening. Sin's bad, but to mock that which is holy or right and true is even worse. And yet, you know, we continue to be entertained by them as they write the screenplays for our favorite shows and movies or books or magazines. They make a lot of money entertaining, but God's not laughing. Scorners feed on strife. Proverbs 22:10, cast out the scoffer, get rid of the lates, and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. As the abomination of humanity, scoffers are generally quite controversial. The fill in the blank there is drive. Drive out the mocker, Solomon says, and the contention or strife will also leave. In that second, he says, yes, strife and reproach. That word strife, not sure why they translate that strife. There's another word for strife. That word means legal justice. Legal justice and disgrace will cease. Interesting. Interesting thought. The need for legal justice will cease, along with its accompanying disgrace. Disgrace. Show me a church that always has problems. There's always fussing and fighting, and I'll show you a church that's got a mocker or two living there. They're stirring in things. They're always stirring. If things get too quiet, they stir the pot. Scorners feed on strife. Chapter 29, verse 8. Scoffers set a city aflame, but wise men turn away wrath. Scoffers set a city aflame, but wise men turn away wrath. Your next fill in the blank is harmony. Males of scorning is what the Hebrew literally says. Males of scorning will completely destroy the harmony of a city. Harmony. The next word is whisper. The indication of the verb is that the town will begin to whisper lies back and forth until everyone is angry and everybody's hurt and everyone's divided. You can spot the work of scoffers because their words are inflammatory, not peaceful. Inflammatory words. Words. not peaceful words. But when the wise speak, everything settles down. Chapter 3, verse 34. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The he we're talking about, of course, is the Lord. Surely he, the Lord, scorns the scornful, but he gives grace to the humble. Which would you rather be? There's some good news in this. The lates will not avoid the law of the harvest. Remember that very often, God treats us the way we treat him and others. If you've never heard that, write it down, memorize it. It's another way of saying you will reap what you sow. But very often, God treats us the way we treat him and others. He does so to make a point with us. Treats as you fill in the blank. Scorners presumptuously slander things that ought to be in high regard. What if God turns the tables and cuts them down to size? Cuts as you're filling the blank. You see, the lates, they speak presumptuously, but God speaks permanently. Permanently. You think about that. Much better to be with the meek, in your words, because he says the meek will receive grace. The meek will receive grace. All right, we're going to go through these last three rather quickly. We've actually looked at them a couple times when we looked at the simple. We looked at the pithy. Strike a scoffer, strike a lates, and the pithy will become wary. Rebuke one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge. You're filling blank. Slapped. Scorners who get too vocal may also get slapped. I don't stay too up on current events, but it seems like there was some event happened here a while back where a comedian got out of hand and he got slapped on stage. I don't remember the details, but it made me think about this. You strike a scoffer, and maybe the simple will become cautious. We'll learn some prudence. Solomon said this is good because the pithy could at least learn to be cautious about making fun of holy things or sacred things or important things. It seemed like maybe in that case, someone's wife was made fun of or belittled in some way, and that, you know, just shouldn't happen, should it? Proverbs 19:29, judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the backs of fools. This fool is the kasil, the idiot. The idiot will end up getting punished with a public beating for his foolishness. Public beating. Public beating. Your next word is established, but God has established judgments beyond a court of human law for the scorners. You do not audaciously mock the sacred truth and walk away unpunished. Proverbs 21:11, though they sometimes do get punished, when the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise. Not that they always get punished, but when it happens, the pithy can be made wise, but when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. All right. Sometimes, though, the scorner will receive punishment in a human court, whether it's official or unofficial. Maybe it's the court of public opinion, human. Here Solomon saw a benefit in fining a mocker for his slander. The word punished there means, in Hebrew, means to levy a fine against somebody. So that could be a legal, you know, it could also be a fine in terms of just being ostracized or being ignored. That would be quite a punishment for a mocker. They don't like to be ignored. At least the pithy can be made wiser by seeing a painful fine levied against the lates. But, he says, when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. He doesn't just get instruction, he gets knowledge. He goes further with him. Why? Because he's got a spiritual understanding. And when you have a spiritual understanding of the world that God made, because God is a spirit, you have a better understanding that enables you to put all these things together. So the wise learn by hearing the word of God taught. They learn by hearing. They do not need to see the punishment of others to realize, oh, that was a bad thing.